Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, a fake country song. Also, Tommy Tuberville gets blasted by military spouses. And a redistricting scam. Are we really that dumb?
I'll leave him alone.
Can't you see the old man's nuts?
Nuts! Nuts, am I? Let me tell you something, my two fine bedfellows. You're so dumb, there's nothing to compare you with. You're dumber than the dumbest jackass.
I guess so. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter with APR. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Josh, I see you're still on the hunt for Tommy Tuberville now.
Yeah, still here. Florida. Still here. He's here somewhere. He's here somewhere.
He certainly isn't doing his job in D.C., but we'll get to that later.
Right.
You know, we were all wondering during this special session to redistrict the congressional lines why there was so much confusion and pushback on doing the plain order of the Supreme Court. You know, we have the Supreme Court is a very conservative court. Our legislature is a very conservative legislature. But we now know why they decided to pass maps that don't pass muster. I mean, these maps are designed to elicit a response from the courts. And after talking with several insiders who were either in the meetings or in the discussions or discussing it with the players, we find out that Attorney General Steve Marshall, along with a boutique law firm out of Washington, D.C., decided that we should pass maps that defied the court order in order that they could get a chance to go back before the Supreme Court and argue on the merits. They don't believe that the case was heard on the merits. It was only heard on the stay. So they want a second bite of the apple with the intent, Josh, of overturning the last vestiges of the hard-fought Voting Rights Act.
Right. It's a noble cause, isn't it? It's a noble, yes, worthy cause to overturn the an act that simply seeks to make sure that we have equal rights in voting for all people, regardless of race. And You knew that there was something going on because there was just too much confusion. There was too much back and forth. And it was so odd the way the process went down and why they selected those maps that they did. They had to come together and compromise on a map of 40% for a second district there that would give black folks an opportunity to elect people of their choosing. And it's very despicable. Of all the things, why do we always fight for the wrong stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Why are we always there to fight for the wrong things, the right to discriminate against people?
And Susan, we thought all along that something was fishy. And then last week, we were able to discuss this issue and allow people to speak, give them anonymity to speak mm-hmm. freely. And they shared with us succinctly how this went down for one purpose and one purpose only. They think that they can convince the court to rehear it and that Justice Kavanaugh mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. will reverse his decision and vote to strike down the Voting Rights Act.
I had hoped, I had honestly hoped that they were doing this in an effort to say, you know, go ahead and send it to the special master so we don't, you know, our hands are off for our voters. That's not what they were doing. They were deliberately plotting to send it back to the Supreme Court to get it heard so that Steve Marshall can save face because he did not defend that. He didn't show up for the last one. So this is his attempt to save face in an effort to get to a higher position. And quite frankly, I'm embarrassed. We've heard from folks in D.C. that are embarrassed, that are having to explain this to people. So, you know, because it is a very racial move. I mean, this is very racist.
And Josh, we understand that Speaker Ledbetter and Republicans in the House did not want to pass this type of map, but after failed negotiation with the Senate, they just threw up their hands and went, okay, well, hopefully
so much so that Representative Pringle will not allow his name to be on that bill. It's
yeah.
that bad.
I mean, it really is, you know, it seems like the House leadership saw that this was a ploy, a scheme, to do the wrong thing and resisted it. But at some point, you got to pass something. So that's what they did. But I really find it interesting that they went along, you know, that the leadership in the Senate went along with this hostile takeover mm-hmm. and defied the courts for the reason of disenfranchising black people in Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and listen, I can certainly blame Steve Marshall for pushing the idea or recommending the idea or whatever, but, you know, these are grown men. Okay. Yep. I mean, these are grown men that were elected to represent their constituency. A good number of them, even the Republicans, represent a large number of black citizens in this state, and they owe it to them to represent them well and fairly. And it's shameful to watch them do this. And I'm not cutting them slack for saying, oh, well, Steve Marshall recommended this. So, I mean, you could, how many things has Steve Marshall recommended that you didn't do, you know? And right. It's honestly despicable to me to watch these folks go after the Voting Rights Act as though it's going to be some form of triumph for them, and to say that this is our goal is to upend the Voting Rights Act and we don't have to do this when if you put into context where we are in this state right now, all right, we don't have a single black statewide elected official, we don't have a single black Supreme Court justice. We don't have a single black appeals court justice. We have one cabinet member who is black because we got rid of the second cabinet member because she was too woke because she had training manuals for the pre-K program, even though the pre-K program is the only damn program in the entire state that's ever overachieved. All right? But we got to get rid of her for that. So this is where black folks are. We have a supermajority of Republicans, okay, in both chambers over here. They can do whatever they want to do. And they acted through this process as though they were on the verge of relinquishing great power to black citizens of this state by giving them a second of 7 congressional seats.
Yeah, it would not have hurt us in Congress at all. It actually would have helped us. I mean, that Kevin McCarthy called down and spoke with Representative mm-hmm. Livingston and said, you got to help me out. You got to get this done. I don't want to lose my majority. You know why? Because the only way they keep the majority mm-hmm. is by disenfranchising voters. Because they don't, and I'm, and if it was Democrats, I'd say the same thing.
Yes.
Republicans do not have any ideas for governing. Look at what they're doing. They have a majority in the House. They are not governing. And therefore, they have to disenfranchise people to win elections. I predict they will lose in a landslide in 2024. But
I hope so.
They need to learn the lesson that all this culture wars and race baiting does not work anymore.
That's all they're doing. They're not coming out with policy. They're not coming out with plans to improve the state. They're basically just bullying, you know, transgender and all these groups instead of actually doing something.
You know, what kills me about the whole thing is their hero, the hero of the Republican Party, Ronald Reagan, okay? If you look back at Ronald Reagan, and yes, there was a lot of rhetoric and there was a lot of racism and there was a lot of things that he did that I disagree with, but he had policies, all right? Mm-hmm. There's a reason why he's the hero of your party. And the hero of your party had some policies that you could lean into and say, here is clearly defined what we believe in and how we're going to govern. And you ain't got it now.
No, you don't. And we are out of time. Watching the Voice of Alabama Politics. We'll be right back.
Your home is your most valuable asset. But what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We were talking about Senator Tommy Tuberville from the state of Florida, who represents Alabama as our senior senator. This past week, ALFA, the Farmers Federation of Alabama, held a luncheon in which they honored Tommy Tuberville and his foundation. At the same time, they were applauding a foundation that's under audit because it appears it's been used improperly. The military spouses have blasted Tuberville for being unpatriotic, for holding up the promotions of flag officers and generals. Because when you hold up flag officers and generals, it filters down to the men and women on the front lines of combat and their families. Because transfers are not made, raises are not given, promotions are not given. Our generals have said on the record that it hurts our readiness. Our families now, Josh, are saying it's hurting their families.
Yeah, and it is. And it's really remarkable to see the, of all things, that foundation be honored with a luncheon. I mean, it just is, even Tuberville and his staff have admitted that there are huge problems with that. His staff just last week to the Washington Post admitted that they had been under audit for years and it had to change out the board and do all sorts of things. And it was because of problems that popped up during the campaign when people started to notice that the Tuberville Foundation had given very little money to veterans charities, less than a third, I believe, it was reported at the time.
Let's not forget also that these are families. Now, when you get a promotion in the military, a lot of times that involves you moving.
Yes.
Well, you can't. They're caught in limbo. They can't sell their house. They can't buy a new house. They can't get their children registered in new schools. I mean, this is not just about the pay raise or just about the promotion. This is causing families much distress over something that he has no control over. By just running his mouth, he could actually go back and try to change the law that allows this.
But the thing is, and he says he's holding this up because the federal government and the military is paying for travel for women that
not need, the abortion, not, just the travel.
Just the travel and lodging for women who are needing abortions. And he acts like this is something that's against the law. It is not against the law. The Hyde Amendment, which is what he should be referring to,
exactly,
does not disallow this to be done. If he doesn't like the law, he can change the law. He's a senator. But you have to show up and participate in the Senate to change the law. All Tommy Tuberville is doing is making enemies in Washington, enemies in the military, over an ideological bent that I truly question he sincerely holds. I think this is a man who wants to be relevant. He has 4 million Twitter followers, and that makes him happier than winning a Super Bowl, probably.
Yeah, but the
not that he ever could.
But the problem is that he's making enemies for Alabama.
Yes.
Right now, they're enemies for him. But in the future, it's going to be enemies of Alabama.
Yeah, it's, it is a, you know, it's a DOD policy you know, that that they pay for this travel. And it's not a new thing necessarily. It's new only in the sense that they have just recently overturned Roe v. Wade. And so now this policy can be used to also cover abortion services and other reproductive services as well that may be outlawed in the state where a military member resides or, you know, is stationed right. against, you know, that's where they go. They have to go there. And so, you know, they travel to those places, to a different state to receive these services. All you're doing is paying for the travel for them to do that, as you would with any other medical service that was not available in the state. And so it's just, it's such a ludicrous situation that he's got himself into, and he can't get himself out of it at this point because now he's drawn so much attention to himself with this. And I honestly, I hope it backfires bigly, as his favorite person likes to say.
Well, you know, and somebody tried to make an excuse that why we were having so much trouble with Space Command headquarters being relocated here was because of some other reason. No, it's because of Tommy Tuberville. And it's because of the backwards policies that we enact in this state. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it was up to Steve Marshall, women would be put in jail for having abortions. Now, they can't have them here anymore, but soon he will be going after women whose children are stillborn, whose women, whose children die, who have miscarriages, because all he cares about is looking like a hero to the fanatical base of the Republican Party. But let's on by contrast. Let's look at what our junior senator, Senator Katie Britt, did just last week, Susan.
Yeah, she found $40 million to be able to modernize and upgrade the transportation infrastructure in communities all across Alabama. She went and found the money and started allocating. I think Alabama's going to get like $30 million of it.
Well, Alabama, it will get $40 million out of the new appropriations mm-hmm. bill that she's on the appropriation committee that will come to Alabama for port, inland ports.
Airports,
rural.
Roads,
rural,
bridges. Everything that everybody complains
and
about.
And then there's another $30 million that's going to be available for the area around Birmingham because of the Appalachian Trail improvements through there. This is a senator who's working on real issues of real Alabamians, while the other senator is working on fake issues for fake Alabamians.
Katie Britt is actually going to work.
Yeah.
She's going to work with Alabama in mind, and she's also being an ambassador for Alabama of how most the rest of us are in Alabama, not Tommy Tuberville.
Well, Tommy Tuberville is neither an Alabamian nor does he live in the state.
No, and he's not going to work.
He doesn't really like working.
She goes to work on these bills. He just goes over here and screams in a corner somewhere.
And all those black players that used to work for him in college football are just so proud.
They're so proud they won't talk. No, listen, I obviously, you know, I have some political disagreements with Senator Britt, but I will say that when, you know, much like her predecessor, Senator Shelby, and her former boss, I can appreciate the job that she does because she is doing things for Alabama that are outside of the partisan politics thing, you know, where she's had a bunch of different bills. So she had the bill to work on social media with children. She had a bill to lower the cost of insulin. You know, put a cap on the insulin, and now, you know, we've got the infrastructure stuff, and she's doing a lot of the stuff on appropriations that her predecessor did that brought a lot of money into this state, and it's nice to have somebody working.
It is nice to have somebody working for Alabama who's from Alabama. We're going to leave it right there. We'll be right back. You're watching The V.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Susan, an interesting report came out last week about how young people feel about the gun violence, mm-hmm. in America and how it affects them. We know it affects children in many ways disproportionately because they are the school-age kids that have to go to school and learn how to avoid a attack, to mm-hmm. avoid a school shooter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a majority of school-age children know someone who has been killed by a firearm. This new study surveyed over 4,000 young people, and 60% believe that it's a real problem.
Yes, they do. 4 out of 5 of those children said this is a real problem in their generation, and that they're very worried about it. And they also think there need to be more gun control laws
yep.
in place.
And Josh, they don't have voting rights, but they will soon. Yep. And we're seeing that with the Gen Z folks. They are voting on issues, and this is going to cost big time in 2024.
I hope so. I hope it does. It should. You know, we have gotten to a point with gun violence in the country that is, it's untenable. I mean, we cannot continue down this path the way that we're going with this. And it just, the proliferation of firearms and the ease with which they're accessed, and the fact that you can purchase, you know, high-powered rifles and that will fire, you know, 1,000 bullets in a minute, and stock up on ammunition without anyone being wise to this is a level of absurdity that, I mean, you can't tell people from other countries this and them not be amazed at what's yeah. going on here. And the young people see it, you know, they're not necessarily influenced by the partisan politics of this. And that's the reason why 60% of them are like, yeah, we should definitely change that, you know, because right. it makes sense. They're just talking about yeah. common sense at this point. Yeah. And the idea that we shouldn't is so out of whack with reality. It's honestly, it's staggering.
You know, the one thing that bothers me is us as adults, you know, we know some people that have been injured by guns, and we mm-hmm. know people that have been killed by guns and all of that. But we're talking about young people that almost every one of them knows somebody that's been injured or killed by a gun. That's staggering.
It's the leading cause of death
yeah.
yes.
for children and teens and young adults in the country. It's the leading cause of death.
Yeah, more than this car accidents.
Yeah, yeah, not car accident, guns. And our lawmakers refuse to act. They act as if the Second Amendment should have no boundaries. Our Supreme Court acts that way. But none of the other amendments are given no. such deference. It's mm-hmm. only because this sells to the base, where you show up with a picture of your family around Christmas with guns. Everybody has guns.
Mm-hmm.
The
guns.
Woman's pregnant and she's got a gun on her belly. So that's the new gun for the child as soon as it's born. I mean, it's gotten that ridiculous.
It's a sickness.
It is. Yes. It is a sickness.
And I'm a gun owner. I'm a gun owner.
Sure, I'm not against guns. Right. I mean, I'm for responsible gun ownership.
Yes.
It's a tool. You know, it's a tool yeah. for safety. It's, I mean, and it, to me, what you're describing there is as absurd as a family standing around a Christmas tree holding up screwdrivers. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. It honestly, it is. I mean, this, if you want to have a gun, okay. You think that makes you safe. You want this as a tool to protect your family or protect yourself or go hunting or whatever. Okay. That's fine. Use it as the tool in which it was intended and which way people treated it for, you know, 100 years or more in this country, and stop with this nonsense where it's glorified to the point where your masculinity is wrapped up into this thing, and you know you're posing with it on Facebook. And I can't remember the comedian said it. You know, if it's truly about safety, are you also going to be posing with a security door? You know, and holding up a big picture of a deadbolt?
Yeah.
And it's nonsense. This stop treating it this way.
If you have to have a gun to be a man, you ain't much of a man.
No.
I think Andy Griffith said that, you know?
Yeah, I think Andy Griffith proved that.
Sheriff
right?
without a gun,
Speaking of Andy Griffith, we're going to go to a myth. I love Andy Griffith. Josh, you know Andy Griffith.
Oh, he knows every word of every episode.
Better than anybody I know. But this song, Try That in a Small Town, as become a phenomenon. It's a big hit. It's also been a talking point about glorifying violence, glorifying country life, and how rural living is so much more acceptable in American than urban living. And I thought I'd just look. See, I lived in Nashville for a while, and I happen to have been friends for years with one of the most successful Nashville songwriters in history, mm-hmm. who went to an Ivy League college and was not from a small town.
Well, his right. degree was in computer science, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, degree in computer science. But anyway, I looked up the writers of that song, okay? So the writers of that song, Neil Thrasher is from Birmingham, not a small town. Kurt Allison from Des Moines, Iowa, not a small town. Kelly Lovelace is from Paducah, but spent most of his life living in a suburb outside of Chattanooga. There is one of the songwriters who is from a small town. He's from a small town in New York State. But as soon as he turned old enough to get out, he moved to Los Angeles. And then, what is his name? Jason Aldean is not from a small town. These are professional writers who write songs for people like Jason Aldean, who go out and front it.
Yes.
And so they're not writing from experience. They're trying to write commercial songs that will sell and promote a myth of what country life is like. This is not a real depiction of small town, or they'd have pictures with crack addicts in it and people with their teeth falling out of their head and people living in poverty.
Yeah.
That, unfortunately, is a lot of small town. I live in a small town. This doesn't happen in this small town.
No. 5,800 population in the city of Atala. This doesn't happen. We don't go shoot our neighbors for spitting on the flag. We may talk about them behind their back now. That's a different story. But no, this doesn't happen in small towns. I'm
Josh, sorry. It's all yep. a lie, and people buy into it. And so that's why it gets play.
Yeah, it's a myth. It's this myth. It's kind of like the gun thing. It's playing into this this masculine image of being able to protect yourself, and you're going to stand up for
yeah.
you know, for your folks and shoot these bad guys. And you know, suspiciously, the bad guys are always black. And it just is. It plays into so many racist tropes and yeah. things. It's you know, as somebody said, if you want to defend the song, you know, okay, well, defend what is that? Try that yeah. in a small town. What is it that
right.
that is? And if you look at what that is in the song, all of it is things that are myths that have been created to persecute black people for yeah. Various crimes.
If you really want to know what it's like to live in a small town, Hank Williams Jr., A Country Boy Can Survive, is your song.
Of course, Hank Williams Jr. was the son of Hank Williams Sr., who was the greatest songwriter, country songwriter ever.
Yep.
And he
yep.
didn't do any of those songs. But Hank Williams lived outside of Nashville in a giant mansion. So what the heck? All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us, because we watch them.